What up, y'all? Welcome to WWT Live Friday edition. So much to talk about. We're going to be getting into the AEW stuff and Ronda stuff and Alicia Fox all coming up next.
I am your forever ROH Women's Champion, your fallen goddess, the Alpha, the Minion, Overlord, the ROH Gatekeeper. But most of all, I am the best in the world, Athena, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
What up, y'all? Happy Friday, happy Friday. Man, we can get into it because this train just doesn't stop. But thankfully, I'm not alone. My name is TK Trinidad, and we have the professor.
Forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward.
2 for 2 today, Professor. How you doing?
Hey, if the people can stand me, we have a double header here. I hope it's never too much, but yeah, I'm back. Greetings.
So like I was saying, 2 for 2, if you guys weren't here with us here on the West Coast super early in the morning, we did a ROH post show. It's going to be our official post show every Friday morning. So if you didn't catch it, you can run it back and check it out. It's going to be on the audio platforms in a few hours. And she is back. I guess she liked us. But I was telling Professor before she comes on, the book, Marie, you have to talk about this book that you have, because I made a mistake. I should have got it before Mania. But we're in April, so we have time. Marie Shadows in the building. How are you doing?
Good. Give me 1 second. I just realized I had music playing and I thought that was you, but something funky happened to my headset. But hi, yeah, I'm Marie Shadows.
No worries. So let's get in. What up? So also big news, Dylan, our unofficial producer, has now become our official producer.
Oh,
congratulations
to Dylan all the way in Australia. He's going to be doing some stuff for us on the back end. But yeah, what do we got first? What's our first story?
Well, our first story deals with, we were talking about Marie writing a book, and it deals with another author who has really been in the news quite a bit since the talk of this book. And that, of course, is Ronda Rousey. Of course, we know all of her time in the UFC and in WWE, a former women's champion, among the first three women to main event WrestleMania. And she's been very vocal about a few things. She had some commentary about Logan Paul recently, where she said that he's great on the mic, but they're rolling out the red carpet for him. And she says that she wishes that she had gotten the same amount of time to rehearse as he has. She's also gone on to say that, in her words, wrestling is not actually a sport. If you can imagine that, she says it's scripted mostly. There's a general idea. She likes to relate it to figure skating. Two people together creating a performance. You're actually, she says there's no way to fake a chair shot. You actually get hit with the chair, but it's not a real competition. So Ronda Rousey out here with lots to say. And I don't really know how we process this, considering she spent several years as part of the wrestling community. It's just really, really interesting.
Well, I'm going to let Marie go first because she has some stuff for us.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll get into my book/planner like after I have to say this. First of all, wrestling is a sport. It's always going to be a sport to me because that's how I look at it. Besides it being the purest form of theater, because you do get two people acting, you get like a play, and like it just keeps on going. It's not like a show where a show may be canceled after like season 2, but wrestling like keeps going forever and ever. There is a way to block chair shots. There is a way to, take the chair shots, you know, just don't put too much power into it. It's going to hurt because it is a weapon, essentially. But her comments about the whole resources and not getting enough time to train, like, they really pushed her into the, like, limelight really fast. And, like, she was really good because she was around veterans and she was able to, like, get her feet and, like, look really, really good. Now, if a company does not want to give you any more resources, it is your job to continue to learn and be a student of the game. Triple H did not get to where he is now because he decided to be like, oh, I have no more resources. Let me not do anything. Like, he's the game for a reason. You have to go out there and you have to go for the resources. So basically, when I was in WWE back in 2018, being on the WWE Network logging team, we have resources. We have resources such as like going to our supervisors and like asking them about like, hey, you know, what word for the SEO part of my job, like, would you put if for like this match that I'm watching or something? Because you couldn't think of it. Most of the time when I was watching the content for professional wrestling, I had to think about like, oh, would people search up chair shot? Where people search up like ladder matches or gimmick matches. And if I couldn't think of something, I had them there. And if we just wanted to talk about wrestling, we talked about wrestling. There are other people on social media, such as Twitter, that will go and put out tweets to be like, hey, I'm bored, guys. I want to learn. Give me your recommendations for matches, for like promo work. You got to put in the work. So I don't know where Rhonda's coming from with like, it's not fair. Logan Paul has this versus what she didn't have, when she could easily just become a student of the game. That's why, to Logan Paul's credit, Logan Paul is, you know, actually being really good at being in this wrestling business. Mm-hmm. But you got to go out there and get those resources. Now, this is the book that I was talking about. It is a planner. So it has a calendar in here and stuff, and a notes section. And even a 7-star match rating too, so you can put your favorite matches in. So this is the only book that I have at the moment. I do have like other plans to like release like a wrestling fiction novel like later on in the future, but this is the book that TK was talking about.
And but don't put like
that's my whole take on
only what? Book, girl. Like I believe you're the only author in this. I mean, Professor's done a lot of things, so I can't speak for him. I believe you're probably the only author. So, you know, don't downplay it. I said, I'm definitely.
I didn't realize I did.
Yeah. Oh, you totally did.
Check on your name.
I have a publishing certificate. Like, I really wanted to be in writing. I have my creative writing degree, like I mentioned last time. So all I want to do is basically write a wrestling novel, like one day, because I know that market is not saturated, rather than like an autobiography or something. So like, this is like the pretest of like a planner for like the wrestling community, and then eventually my novel and stuff like that. But yeah, so that's all I have to say about like Rhonda and stuff.
And okay. And where can people find your book, Marie?
Oh yes.
So basically, if you follow me on Twitter at Marie_Shadows, you guys can like DM and message me, and I'll send you the link because it is on Barnes and Nobles. Because Barnes and Nobles was like, yeah, we'll publish it. Amazon is like taking forever, and I was like, whatever, let's go Barnes and Nobles.
I'm gonna put it in the chat because I think you dropped it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I sent you the links that I already can look at the beautiful website I made for it. Oh, and they could go to Barnes and Nobles from there.
And I also, for those who are in the chat live, it's going to be in the chat too. And before I go into my comments about Rhonda, and I put my dog down, she's going to go to doggy jail. We have, hey, stop that. We have, he's in from the streets. said is in the building. What's good?
How is everybody?
What's going on, brother?
We're good.
Everybody good?
Yeah, yep. We're good, man.
So I'm good too. So with Rhonda, I definitely agree with you as far as if you really want more resources, you're going to go after it. And mm-hmm. she definitely did that when she was training for the Olympics. And she was doing UFC and stuff like that. I think it's also how bad you want it. And just kind of wrestling is totally different than a lot of other sports because you don't have to put yourself forward. It's just based off your skill. And when I did meet her, when she first started with WWE, you could tell she's just an introvert, period. And so it takes a longer time to like actually put having realizing that you are the brand, you are the market, like there's not going to be a team behind you. Whereas Logan Paul, he's been doing this and his whole family has been doing this for, I want to say, the better part of a decade. So the transition to WWE, even if it wasn't athletic wise, and he's still good, I'm not putting any shade on his name, but the transition to WWE was easy for him because he knows how to play up to the camera. He knows the marketing behind it. He knows, so it's a little bit easier for him to grasp it. Whereas for Ronda, I feel like it threw her for a loop because she didn't realize the amount of work personally wise to connect with the audience, how much that was going to take. And I also feel like she wasn't in it for the long game. So if you're not in it for the long game, like think of all the things that you could put your attention to, right? You only really put your attention to stuff that you really, really want versus if something's like, I kind of want to learn Spanish, but you put in 5 minutes a day, really talking about myself right now. You put in 5 minutes a day, you're not going to be speaking fluent by the end of the year. Like, that's not, I have a friend, he's learning Mandarin. He spends 5 hours a day and then works with a coach once a day for an hour. I think his goal is to speak it fluently within 6 months. Two different things. So I think that's, you know, the whole thing with Ronda. But, you know, it's selling her book. And I'm really upset that I didn't get to see. She had a book signing in LA, I think, yesterday. And I'm really upset I didn't get to go to that. But anywho, do you have any thoughts, Sen?
Just jumping in here. I'm guessing we're talking about her comments about wrestling not being a sport.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I put that in the chat. It just feels like she's in the news cycle every week for all of the wrong reasons. It's just weeks of sour grapes. And I hear what you're saying. I thought the Logan Paul thing was like a very random jab to take and how he was presented. Because, I mean, he's wrestling more now. Before, it was like maybe once or twice a year. So maybe she wanted to be treated like a spectacle. But I feel like how maybe a lot of people have responded to that quote is that Ronda was absolutely given the red carpet, and it's at that point, it's what you do with it. Yeah. And I don't want to give her the out as far as her saying that there wasn't really a team helping her, things like that. Like, she's been a part of the UFC machine. She's been a part of press conferences where you have to sell your fight, where you have to have bad blood in the quotes in the media, and where she was presented as this big badass that nobody could overcome. I just feel like maybe there's a little bit of sour grapes because of how her run ended and how the fans sort of got tired of her shtick, which that's just life. Some people are going to gravitate you, and you can lean into that and know how to make it work for yourself, or you don't. Like, that's just what it is.
And it wasn't much of a stick either. It was Ronda with a jacket on, like, you know, and Logan Paul's kind of like that, but I'm willing to bet he's playing up his personality even more. And I think maybe, and maybe Marie, you could speak to this, maybe WWE did do her a disservice because they just thought that she, as Ronda, would be okay. Meaning that they weren't going to add any other layers to it character-wise. Because if they did take a step back, it's like, yes, we know you're Ronda Rousey. Everybody knows you're Ronda Rousey. But add figured like a different angle. I had an amazing conversation, and Professor, you know who she is, Black Swan. A couple of days ago, like, her stick is she's a ballerina who kicks ass in wrestling. That sticks out, period, point blank. Not to say it's the direction Ronda has to go, but when WWE rolled out Ronda, it was just Ronda.
Well, she didn't adapt, though. It's like Ronda's problem is not that she's not a big name. It's the fact that she's unwilling to really sell. It's like, yes, we know you can fight, but you're not selling for the sake of the storyline in the ring, and that shows.
Right.
Well,
but
see, so let me go here because I hear all of the explanations for Ronda Rousey. The reality of it is, in the world of wrestling, and specifically if you start thinking about independent wrestling, there's not a promoter that's going to give you a gimmick. They're not going to give you a persona. You determine what your persona is going to be, and you have to work to make whatever adjustments as possible. If something's not working, you do the work to make the adjustment. And I think what we're seeing here is somebody who figured, I'm already successful in one space. I'm just going to come in here and just do the exact same thing I was doing. Fight every now and again. I don't have to put my personality into it. I don't really like it that much anyway. So let me just get the quick money grab. And when you realize that it's more work than you thought, it changes your perspective. I think you learn a lot about a person, not just when they get hired or when they enter into a space, but when they leave a space. How do they handle things? The way that you can trash a space that you just spent 5 years in tells me more about you than it does that particular space. So when it comes to a Ronda Rousey, who, let's just be fair here, Ronda Rousey did not get cheated in any shape of the word. Here's a woman whose debut match was in WrestleMania, WrestleMania 34. A year later, she's the first woman in a main event at WrestleMania. Nobody gave her, mistreated her or anything of that nature. You know, most people would love the rollout that Ronda Rousey got, you know? I think her conversation and her book and her being in the news every 3 minutes because of something and really trying to trash the place that kept her in the forefront for the last 5 years says far more about Ronda Rousey as a human being than it does what WWE did or didn't do for her. If it didn't work, say, hey, I tried it. It didn't work. But you don't have to burn the city down in your attempt to try to explain why it didn't work for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's under a different regime. That quote so many different places, but
apply it wherever necessary.
It's under a different regime too, I think. Yeah. That's one thing, because I could see where she's coming from. Look at Jade, look at Logan, look how they kind of protecting Jade until, you know, she's ready. So, and I think I had said this before Ronda's book even came out, and I think before Jade even debuted, if they had taken their time with Ronda and, you know, protected her a little bit more, regardless of her name, you know, to get her all the way ready where they felt like she's comfortable and that fans would either like her or hate her, you know, in a good way, then yeah. But I feel like they did throw her out. So I can definitely get that.
Here's my counter to that. My counter to that is her debut. Her debut, they were not going to put her in a WrestleMania match unless they felt like she was ready. She's teaming with Kurt Angle. She's fighting Triple H. You've got generals in there. Now, here's the deal. I can give you a start, but it is your job to maintain things from there. Nobody should have to now take her and fly her to the performance center after she's launched like this at WrestleMania 34. That falls on her. You know, if I get you a gym, for instance, and I've told this story before, my wife got me my initial membership to DDPY. It was like this cool Groupon with 10, you know, sessions. After that, it's up to me to decide if I want to continue to do DDPY or not. And if I don't, I can't blame her for not continuing to fund, you know, my DDPY treatment. It's up to me. And well, so I think, of course I did.
Oh, just check it. I wanted to know.
Yeah. No. I absolutely did until they stopped doing public workouts and things like that.
Right.
You know, so that's the thing is, I think we cannot, this lies at her feet. If they didn't train her, then, you know, they would not have put her at WrestleMania 34 and then WrestleMania 35 in the main event. She had training. The question is, what do you do with what you're given?
Yes, I totally agree with that. Everyone's points like was 100% solid. I will say this, though, that because we are under a new regime and a new changing of the guard, I do know that if maybe Ronda would have stayed and like under Triple H, like it would have felt a lot more better, a lot more authentic. And then maybe we could have had the badass team of Ronda and Shayna Baszler, like tearing the house down and stuff like that. Because I see Triple H being more hands-on of like, look, we got to work on your character. We got to amplify your strengths, maybe work on your weaknesses a little bit, you know, play that like, you know, Paul Heyman kind of deal. But because it was under Vince and my only like feeling when I was working there and like Vince was still working there like 2018 was that like you could tell how chaotic it was because there was a point in like the first month that I was working there that he could not decide, meaning Vince, he could not decide if he wanted us to have the name Chris Benoit in the search engine, right? So like 1 week would be like yes, next week would be no. the following week would be yes. And then at the end of the month, it was just like, whatever, don't do it. Like, if you see it, whatever, we'll handle it. The supervisors will handle it. So I think that Ronda also got that kind of treatment where it was like Vince probably banked on her name to mm-hmm. take her to like the top without like, hey, let's pull you to the side. Let's actually teach you the world of wrestling and stuff like that. So like, it was probably chaotic at that time, but I don't think Ronda needs to go around, you know, saying all these quotes for the sake of saying it, even though it sells her book. Like, I get it, but like, calm down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, but she's selling the book and we're talking about it. So
yeah.
And I mean, I guess here's another question. She's put out the book, you know, and she said before, I think she came back the second time, that she didn't care for wrestling. I don't know if that was a work or not when she said that, but do you think that we will see Ronda again, you know, based off under Triple H? You think Triple H will reach out, or you think this is, that's it, Rand, it's a wrap?
Never say never in wrestling.
I
want to hear it. Go.
While I'll never say never, and I wouldn't say never, I will also say, you know, usually, and again, this is, we're going to see, I think, in the next couple of years, just how Triple H really runs things. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I think is important, just based on what we've seen in the last year and a half of him doing creative and the like, is he's more interested in building homegrown stars. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to offer the olive branch to anyone who is not in the wrestling community but has a degree of celebrity, they have mm-hmm. to have a true interest in this business. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas I think the previous regime was willing to say, hey, you know what? If you can get some clicks, come on in. So I think because of that, and because of where the star power currently is right now, there isn't necessarily a need in WWE for her. Now, someone mentioned Ronda showing up as a one-off in Ring of Honor. Yeah, it that happened. And she showed up on a couple of independent dates. I think those other spaces might need the star power of Ronda Rousey more than the WWE does at this particular point.
Anything to add, Cedric?
Yeah, when you burn a bridge that way, even if it's for the sake of your own personal benefit, I don't see a need for Ronda, and I don't see the reaction being well received if she were to come back either. I think the mistake in all of it, if you want to blame Vince, creative, whoever, is they saw that they had another athlete and they wanted to make her the female Lesnar, if you would, and they really should have took the developmental steps, and like, nobody should be above NXT. Mm-hmm. Coming in with no experience. And I think that was the mistake, not thinking that she could have built her name in NXT and going from there. We're seeing it with Lola. We're going to see it with Julia. We've seen it with so many people. And the stint doesn't have to be long, but it's just for you to know the WWE way so you have staying power.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Well, we'll see what happens. I definitely am going to check out her book. Hopefully it's on audiobook. I believe it is. But what do we got next?
I don't have time to read.
I'll listen to audio.
No. Yeah. There's a lot of places we could go here. I think it's probably good to kind of rip the Band-Aid off and talk about AEW at this point. Okay. When we left Wednesday, we were asking ourselves, would they really show this footage? Would AEW Dynamite actually show the footage of what happened in All in London? And they did. And in showing that footage, the next thing we would hear from Tony Khan is a tweet that said, quote, just got the great news from TBS. Last night, as in Wednesday night, Dynamite was up 29% from last week, up 17% over the prior six-week average. Thank you all for watching AEW Wednesday. Such a stacked wrestling show. And there's, of course, Rampage and Collision this weekend. Now, it's very clear that the very overwhelming consensus on the internet and with almost everyone that one talked to is that this was not a good move, one way or the other. You could even make the argument that not even everyone in AEW appreciated it, because as they were prepping to show this, I wish we had the screen grab for this, Tony Schiavone would not even look in the camera. If he could have disappeared, he would have. But I do want to pose this question because, you know, we asked what merit, what would it do, et cetera, et cetera. Was there a win in this? And the reason I say that is Tony Khan's next tweet is, hey, you know what? Our ratings were up 29%. Thank you all. It was fantastic. Did the ends justify the means here?
Okay, so there's two things. And MDB 999, you're right. I definitely wouldn't have shown the footage. Because I want to, if I were him, I want to grow the brand on its own merit, not based off of somebody who's left or any other drama. Because if you build something on shaky ground or a bad foundation, like my dog is getting spoiled right now, and it's probably gonna be a bad situation the next 6 months. If you build something on shaky ground, then it's gonna crumble. So I didn't really see the point in showing this. It didn't really show anything. Like, okay, you brought more light to CM Punk, who's at a whole nother company. However, in the society that, because there's different, I don't know, societal universes, people who like the drama, people who like all that, and they get, you know, it's not my life. So you're seeing the train wreck happen, and now you want to tune into that station. Now the longevity, now the question would be, what are the numbers going to look like tonight and on Saturday and for the pay-per-view in St. Louis? Is it going to sustain, or did, you know, everybody get their, you know, bad girls fix, and then they go back to watching whatever their favorite product is? So it's, you know, if you want that quick fix, great. If there's some staying power, then, you know, I'm not a professional marketer, clearly. But if there's staying power, then they did their job. I don't think they did, but we'll see.
I just think that it was a bad move on their part, because it's way too late to even try and do something with this. I know there was like a slight discourse of people on Twitter saying that, like, the upside that they saw in their delusional minds, because it's delusional, is that it's going to help benefit Young Bucks versus FTR, which we've seen 1,000 times. And also help with Jack Perry. But I don't even think most of the people know where he's at, because he's not at home. He's over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He joined House of Torture, and tonight he's wrestling on Windy City Riot. So, yeah, very huge card. I don't even know, like, where they're getting this from, but okay, we'll leave that be for them. But to show it, I don't know what it accomplished other than making CM Punk look right in his narrative, and just showing that, like, you don't know how to handle a situation. Because if you are a boss, like, for any of us that ever worked a regular job, like, you know, if you have a problem, you go to your boss first, you go to HR first, and then, you know, God forbid, like, if that doesn't work out, you might have to take matters into your own hand, depending on what it is. But I honestly do not know what TK was thinking, but he plays it like a child. He really does. And it's like, my whole biggest issue with him is that we bring up all of these issues, all this baggage that AEW has. And it's like, can he just take a moment to acknowledge it and sort of be like, I'm sorry, let's do a restart of AEW? Because, like, in my mind, I'm still like 1% of AEW is the alternative. Right now, I'm like, I'm negative 1%, negative 2% of, like, is this still the alternative that I loved back in 2019? Like, I just need TK to take some, well, not this TK, the other TK. The fake TK. Okay, I was wondering, because I'm reading chat and I'm like, fake TK, what is that? So fake TK, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge, like, all the baggage and start over, because I'm not sure if we were going to talk about it, but I think Cash from FTR was talking about how he's done with, like, trying to live in the past of like all the AEW mistakes and whatnot, and he wants to move. And when I saw that pop up on like on TikTok, I was like, is this real? Like, is someone actually like saying all this stuff? So I think, you know, fake TK shot himself in the foot for all the metaphor out there in the world.
Eddie asking what should the fake TK apologize for?
For all of the... Okay, so basically... Both... Okay, how can I say this? If you haven't been paying attention to everything, then like you should know the answer to that. So as soon as that brawl happened, whoever leaked it out to Dave Metzler for him to bash CM Punk's character for like the 6 months going forward and like all the lies and everything, like the fact of pushing out an agenda to ruin someone's name, like he should apologize for that, because the paper trail is going to like catch up to him eventually. Like Metzler is going to like say some stuff and be like, try to backtrack and stuff. So he should be apologizing for all of that, to push the agenda of like ruining people's names.
Professor or Sed?
Sed, go ahead.
So we're still talking about, I had to get up for a second. We got the, we're still talking about the whole video Wednesday night.
Yeah.
To sum it up, I mean, it's corny, man. It's corny. And you're not allowing your superstars who work a very deep roster, by the way, you're not allowing them on the merit of them having this alternative show and their work to boost your ratings, to come out and say like, hey, we boosted our ratings. Good job for us. Yeah. Yeah. That's lame as hell. Mm-hmm. And not enough people are saying that it's lame. I mean, we feel it. Mm-hmm. Some people are internalizing. Some people are calling it out. But then you have the tribalistic nature of things. There are people who are actually defending the fake TK. And it's gross. It's gross to see. We got to remember that the quote that came out was that this man feared for his life.
That's what he said. That's what he said on television.
That's what he said on television. So Hook was there just chilling. Samoa Joe broke it up. And CM Punk probably had his best match in AEW right after that. Just from a push, a quick headlock, and then we're cult of personalities plan. We're out of here. That's so lame. And like, I like what Marie is saying, because you really do have a situation where you talk about defamation of character. That's it's a big thing. And it's, and just because he got a little pissy because CM Punk, he didn't get bait into this. Like Ariel asked some questions, he gave honest answers. It's, he said there's a lot of things wrong there. And then it's funny how, I think it's funny how you look at the actual performers of any company that were responding to this video and what they saw, and how a lot of them thought it was much ado about nothing. A lot of them thought it was funny. A lot of them know that there's worse things that happen backstage than that. So to perpetuate this, like this was some horror story for months, and for us to see it. And the only thing you can say is we got the boost in ratings we wanted. Well, guess what? They might be like 10 times worse for the next several weeks because of that bait and switch that you just did. Because that's the only thing people remember from the show. How long are we going to continue to try to build your brand off the backs of the WWE and their current or former superstars? Because last time I checked, the number one trend that day was CM Punk.
Was. And they were chanting CM Punk's name in the live arena, which of all of the things, like.
And who tried to start the rumor that there were FU CM Punk chants? Because that didn't happen from the videos we saw.
Did not. Did not.
And this was like the second point. And it's not necessarily giving the fake TK an out. However, when you have that amount of money and that amount of privilege and that ability to essentially do whatever you want, I feel like you make poor decisions. Meaning that nobody's taking away his phone. Like, what are we doing with that? There's a lot of other stuff internally that's happening. And, you know, if your company's in the red or breaking even, but you know that you have money in the bank to kind of bail it out if you need to, you're making decisions a lot different than somebody who's like, look, we have people, we have shareholders to answer to. We have to be in the green. With like, you know, it's a little bit different. Like, think when you first get your paycheck and you don't owe rent, the decisions you make versus when you get your paycheck, and that's the time where you have all these bills, you're probably not going to the bar and ordering the $60 drink. Like, you're, it's a little bit different. And I think Tony Khan, the bar, not the $60 drink.
So how much is the drink?
60.
A singular drink?
Bro, can we go back to the whole point? Can I tie up my point before we go into that? Because you, as a sugar baby, I know your sugar mama pays for stuff like that, so you don't know.
let's not try to deflect here, TK. I want to know where you get $50 drinks other than the airport, because like that's insane.
It just depends on where you go. Anywho,
I learn something new every week, man.
Wow, wow.
That's why I say I think when we question Tony Khan's motives, he's operating different than the average person. If you have a bottom line and shareholders and et cetera, you're making decisions totally different. When you have people to answer to and you might actually lose your job and or the company, you're making different decisions. So not to necessarily give him the out, but that's why you look at stuff like, that's why you look at something like this, because if Tony Schiavone was looking at it and his head's down, that means there are probably people behind the scenes before this even aired. There was a discussion that was had. Mm-hmm. And the fake TK is like, nah, we gonna play it.
So that brings me to ask the question: is, are there not enough tenured wrestling voices in the building already?
There is, but
it doesn't matter.
Here's the thing: you're right. It doesn't matter how many tenured voices you have. If you have the final say, you're gonna do ultimately what you want to do. If in your mind, what you want to do is the way to go,
right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just. Yeah. That's just the way that goes, unfortunately. And I say this carefully, but we've just literally been living through this situation in the previous regime of WWE. It did not matter how many tenured people may have said, this might not be a wise decision to make. You might not want to do this, et cetera, et cetera. When the head man says, this is what I want to do, period, then that's what ends up happening. And so I will just say, you know, the 1-2 punch of this video being shown, well, the 1-2-3 punch, Tony Schiavone's face, the video being shown, the next segment, it's a 4-punch. The next segment being FTR coming out, who apparently wasn't on the schedule, but they had to have a retort, then followed by Will Ospreay deciding to try to accuse Triple H of sleeping his way to the top. I'm just like, what are we? Here's the sad part. 11 days from then, there's a whole pay-per-view happening. A pay-per-view where Swerve is finally getting a one-on-one opportunity for the world title. And all of that's being buried in this kind of foolishness. You know, that to me is where these are not wise moves. And you never... I've heard people make comparisons to WCW, and I hate doing that. But one of the reasons WCW did not exist very well or did not last is they kept paying attention to somebody else's lane and somebody else's race. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly telling the results of what WWE did and you're augmenting your show based on what they've done, then what are you actually building? And I'm very concerned about AEW right now. They've got the talent to make things happen. They've got the money to make things happen. But while you should be providing a greater platform for Swerve, for, my God, the people you've just signed, like a Mercedes Moné, who three or four weeks ago had a whole show named after her, this week she's in a backstage segment and gets mysteriously knocked out. What are we doing? What are we
hasn't
doing?
Hasn't wrestled yet.
And won't wrestle until Double or Nothing. Like, what are we doing? And so I just sit back and I'm like, we've seen this movie before. Mm-hmm. And I don't want this movie to end the other way that the previous movie did, because several of us know people in that company, you know? And I'm just like, that's not good.
Eddie had a very interesting comment that's sparking some conversation, saying that in fairness, Triple H WWE took shots at AEW, and I'm like, that, but is that really how you fight back? That's not how you fight back. Like, there's no way you thought, like, hey, this is going to be my big chess move to show this video, and everybody's going to jump to my side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not.
It's just not. It's not. And
to be fair, to counter that, AEW's been taking shots at WWE consistently on programming since beginning of the show. That's been their whole deal. It's like, hey, let's make cheap jabs at the bigger company.
Yeah. And the other piece to that is, for the Will Ospreay piece, he made the comments in varying interviews that the reason he didn't go to WWE is because of the schedule. So it's not like the things that were said, while it might have been tongue in cheek or a jab, weren't based on things that were already out there in public. So I don't know. I didn't feel like
that was directed directly at Will either. I thought that was just a general.
It wasn't.
Right? There are other, but hit dogs holler, right? So I just sit back and I say, AEW all the way around. Like, I hope. Here's what's sad. What's sad is many of us are saying there are better ways to operate, because quite frankly, I thought AEW was on an upswing from Revolution. I mean, we could actually go back to Samoa Joe winning the world title. They'd been making a lot of good moves from there. You know, Sting and the retirement was handled well. The Road to Revolution, signing Ospreay and Okada and Mercedes. Like, all of these things were really good things. And then you do these kinds of things that erase all of that. And so where we should be talking about Ospreay versus Danielson and all of the other good things, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, which is sad. And, you know, I haven't ranted about it yet, about Will Ospreay's words, because I thought it was just childish, because he got swept up in, you know, the online discourse. Because when you're trying to look for something and look for a reason to argue online with other people, you will find anything that someone says and be like, oh, that's about this person, that's about that person, rather than being like taking it for what it is at face value, which was a generalization. And I can say this because, like, you know, I work the indies. I also do commentary on the side, and like, I'm in the locker rooms, and like, I can see who can put in the work and who doesn't put in the work and stuff like that. And even online, you can see people complain about it. So, like, you know, Triple H's comments about the grind is like, you have to put 100% into this, because at the end of the day, wrestling is a business. If you're complaining about not getting enough bookings, maybe you're not reaching out to enough people, or maybe you might be burned out and then like you want to go take a backseat and relax. I don't think Triple H's comments is about Will Ospreay. It's about the generalization of the indies, because they do have talent scouts that are going out there and going to various schools and promotions and looking at what's in the talent pool and report back to WWE. So it's like, it's not Ospreay. Ospreay, it's not you, man. And for you to take that jab as if like you're going to go fight Triple H on the next pay-per-view, like, it's not, like, there wasn't no need for that. Mm-hmm. And then anyway, I don't like the fact that, you know, because he flies between Japan, I'm not, sorry, the UK and the US, that's technically like not a grind, you know. Ospreay hasn't really wrestled in like Italy and France. They now have wrestling promotions out there, you know. He hasn't been booked in Puerto Rico, down in Mexico. So like, where is this grind that he says? You could go from like three different companies around the world via like plane and stuff, but like, you really got to put the work in. But it wasn't about him. Eddie over here in chat just wants to look for a fight. So, you know.
We have a couple people like that.
I will say this though, that Will Ospreay is talented. He is talented, but sometimes his mind gets the best of him. His mouth gets the best of him. Like, he's great in the ring, but like, sometimes he has to think before he talks. I don't know why Renee didn't jump in to be like, yo, we're not like doing this or whatever, or try to change the subject or whatever. But I felt bad for Renee at that point. I was like, oh damn, you don't do that shit. You don't.
Yeah. I mean, there's, yeah, what do we got next?
So speaking of AEW, Mercedes Moné recently appeared on CBS Boston, where she wanted to discuss her debut in AEW and what she believes to be the rise of women's wrestling. And one of the things that she said was that, you know, she's been working for this and there's just so much more that a woman can do now in the sport. And she certainly sees her contributions to that. She also talked about her injury from 10 months ago, feeling that she was afraid it was all going to be taken away. But thankfully, she has found success in being able to get back. And of course, she's called out the winner of the TBS Championship match that's happening at Dynasty. That's another thing happening at Dynasty. And she'll be taking on that winner, it looks like, at Double or Nothing. But she seems to be proud of what women's wrestling has done. And quite honestly, we're proud of women's wrestling, too.
It's amazing. I had an interview yesterday, and like from when Women's Wrestling Talk, formerly known as Women's Wrestling Weekly, when we started in 2017, I was so afraid that like, yo, we'll be done interviewing, you know, all female wrestlers within 2 years. And like, there was just this boom that happened coming out of the pandemic that it's just amazing. And I love seeing new wrestlers pop up, and you know, we're just in such a great position with social media, and it's just all shapes and sizes, and people are like, it's just a really great time to be a women's wrestling fan and a female wrestler, opposed to like 10, like we've heard a lot of the horror stories. So I definitely agree with her, which I think you guys, Professor, you made a reference to it. We're not going to see Mercedes in action until Double or Nothing. But how do you think this is going to play out, given all the drama that we just talked about with AEW? Do you think this is going to play out well for Mercedes? Or, you know, do you think it's going to be like one of those things almost like she's just there to collect the check? And it's like, look, this is too much. Let me just collect. Like, we're not going to see the greatness that could possibly happen. Like, what do you think is going to happen with all of this, with all these varying ingredients into this sauce?
Someone?
I thought she was asking you for your opinion.
Oh, was she? Oh,
yeah.
Before you answer, M999. What's a black man's favorite song? Canuck If You Buck.
Vine Works, sir.
All right, go on, Professor.
So earlier today, we premiered our Ring of Honor post show. And so if you guys have not seen that, go back and check it out. And one of the things that we talk about is the marked difference between the women's division in Ring of Honor and the women's division in AEW. With that said, it is kind of wild to watch how a Will Ospreay and a Kazuchika Okada have already had incredible success in their month's time in AEW. One already has a main event match at Dynasty. The other won a championship 2 weeks into his tenure. One of these three had an event named after her. And then she went from that to commentary to a backstage segment. How does this all fare for her? It's not looking good. And I don't know if her competing in May for the secondary women's championship will make anything better. This is a woman who came in as a 7-time world champion who won world titles in WWE and in New Japan. How is she not coming in and already being put in the world title picture in AEW? Why she's being put in this mid-card space, a championship that honestly we've not paid attention to since its inaugural holder, Jade Cargill, held it. You know, I don't see how it's going to create a space for her to really make the kind of change that she would like to make. You know, with all of the other things that are swirling. Take those things away, you still have the challenges that's going on an AEW television show with their women's division, you know? So that's kind of what's wild. Your world champion this week didn't even utter two words, was involved in a champagne toast. That's what your women's world champion did this week, you know? So I don't know in terms of what can happen. It doesn't look good. And I'm not sure that we can continue the kind of momentum that would even make it interesting to have Mercedes against potentially Willow for the TBS championship. How are they going to tell this story? I mean, are you waiting until the month of May as it marks exactly a year since they last battled? I could see that, but how are we going to do this? Like that's the thing. And I'm just concerned that we have almost forgotten that, you know, they took 4 or 5 weeks to build big business and we're at 4 weeks after big business and there's not big business.
Mm-hmm. Producer Dylan, there's the clip right there. Maria Cedric.
I'll say this though, that women's wrestling has, like, you know, gone up and has been more interesting, and I am proud of it. If any ladies out there want to get into the professional wrestling space, just make sure you have a tough skin and you always keep your head on a swivel, because there's a lot of opportunities, whether that's commentary, photographer, interviewer, broadcaster, anything. So, like, as much as the men can do what they can do, you guys can do the same thing as well, you know, and in that aspect. But I do think that Mercedes going after Willow for the TBS championship title is like a network move, because you're right. She should end up going for the world title, the women's world title, just because it makes sense. It's Mercedes Moné, AKA Sasha Banks, you know, coming back from an injury. It only makes sense. But I do think that because she had that interview where she said that, you know, ultimately her goal is to go back to WWE eventually, that might have ruffled some feathers and be like, all right, we're going to stick you with the TBS title, you know? But I don't know what Fake TK is thinking at all. And I don't know what Mercedes is thinking. And it does feel like Mercedes is there just for the check, which there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, it's like, I think a lot of people can see through the bullshit and they're not as interested as they should be for them to grow.
Yeah, if the Fake TK made the decision to put her in for the TBS title because of what she said about going back to WWE, that again is one of those things where it's just like, you already paid her the money. Mm-hmm. So let's, like, you know, it's almost like, all right, that's fine. But, you know, I need to make an ROI, a return on investment. So mm-hmm. I don't really care what you said about this WWE thing, but you're here with us now. And whether you're here with us for a year or you're here for your whole contract, I need to get my money back some way, somehow. And so, but again, you could be petty when I feel like you could be petty when you have a lot of money and you have no money. The people in the middle can't really, because in the middle, you're trying to get money and you're also trying not to lose money. So I feel like people in the middle ground, it's hard to be petty. But those people who have money, like, they can 50 Cent be petty all day, every day. And he has how many shows? 50 Cent's living his best life. And then people,
I want to jump in to make the joke of that. I think 50 Cent was born petty. Like, he does not let up on anything, which is great. So I think he was born petty.
At Dylan, yes. Kevin Undergaro, who is, if you guys kind of know the history of Women's Wrestling Talk, Women's Wrestling Weekly, is the owner of AfterBuzz TV, where Women's Wrestling Weekly was born. He is, I believe, kind of like the unofficial manager. So again, you know, you go what best works for your client. But I don't think they anticipated, you know, some mm-hmm. of the shenanigans that happened that the Fake TK made. And you know, it's kind of like when you get a job, right? You get a brand new job. Everything on the resume says you're going to do all this, but you get to the job and you're like, you're doing 10 other things, or you're doing something totally different than the job description. And I think you get to AEW when you see behind the scenes and, you know, some things could have happened. Maybe there is a long play. Maybe this is okay. We put her in this position with the anticipation with by next year, she is going to be the champion. She's going to be the face of the company. maybe there is a long play. It don't seem like that, but I just want Mercedes to be shown in the best light possible. Even if she does end up going to WWE, you want to talk about her reign at AEW like a glorious thing, not like a, mm-hmm. We'll forget about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to talk about that era. You know what I'm saying? Because it's almost like, you know, when Jordan left Chicago Bulls, and where did he go? Was it the Wizards?
Yes.
When he went, like, nobody really talks about that. They just talk about Chicago. It's kind of like one of those things. And you don't want that to happen because you still want AEW to benefit, again, on the return on investment. But we'll see. I think we have time for, like, one or two more stories. So what we got?
Well, let's go out with a bang. Okay. The other big thing that was happening today on the social street involved WWE's newest talent that debuted on NXT this past Tuesday night, Javon Evans. Now, when we were on the show Wednesday, we were lauding all of the great things that he did. He had an amazing match against Scripps, and he just killed it. It was fantastic. A breath of fresh air, 19 years old. Just the whole world is in front of him. And as we've seen in the internet community, podcasters do what podcasters do. Now, we know not everybody's going to like everything, and that's okay. But it crossed a very weird line when a certain podcaster, who I'm not going to name, decided to review Javon Evans' interview following his match. And in the interview, it looked like, you know, someone perhaps offstage, we still don't know, kind of signaled something to Javon. And in the process of signaling that, Javon kind of felt the need, let me kind of wrap up what I'm doing. This podcaster kind of analyzed the looks on Javon's face. And the podcaster went so far as to say, Javon Evans is a slave. Now it hits, first of all, that there's never any appropriate moment for that. But it hits different when there is a Caucasian male in any year, but choosing to call this man a slave. From there, a lot of people caught wind of this. A lot of people. And much like we saw a couple of weeks ago when people decided to have some negative things to say about Bianca Belair being on the cover of 2K24, the NXT roster stood up in a big, strong way for Javon Evans. Comments from all sorts of people, from Sol Ruka to even referee Dallas Irvin. A lot of talent said a lot in support of Javon Evans. It's a very weird world that we live in right now. When in 2024, you're able to say it. Even Ava, the general manager, spoke up. And one of the things that she also said, which I think is very important, is that people need to report this account as hate speech so that this person would not have the opportunity to continue to do this. What do we do? 2024, people are making these kinds of assertions about people on television and boldly, gladly saying these kinds of things in public.
Okay. There are several different things. Now, I don't know this podcaster, so I'm going to do varying things. Maybe he's claiming ignorance, meaning that he was a slave because the person told him he needs to wrap up or whatever. But, you know, that's still, I can't even make a really good argument for him. At the end of the day.
If you watch the video, he very clearly says he looks like a slave. He is a slave. That's what he says.
He went on to say stuff like, why are you paying attention to some producer that's just like, he kept using the term, the Jew term, in a negative connotation.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
Oh, so he's all the way into the other side. I mean, it's a catch 22. I definitely like the fact that NXT superstars stood up for him and, you know, NXT, et cetera. But on the flip side, it's kind of one of those things. Now you're giving this podcaster more light. And, you know, we didn't mention his name for a reason like Professor did. I think Ava had the best advice, almost like, you know, say your piece or, you know, report his account. because there is no room for hate. Like there's room for opinion, but there's no room for hate. And that's kind of the thing where we are now with social media and podcasting. You know, everybody thinks that they have a voice, which they do. That doesn't necessarily mean that everybody wants to listen to it. So yeah, I don't know. I think we have to do another story after this, Professor. This is not really a cleansing palate Friday story, but what else do you have to say? Anything, Maria?
It's not exactly a $60 drink.
So basically, this podcaster, which is a dude, you can see most of his clips like on social media, stuff like that. But he's always said some really outlandish, horrendous stuff about wrestlers because he just wants to get a reaction. And for some reason, I don't know why. Like, I understand that all of us as humans, we get like an emotional response to things, which is cool and everything. But in the year 2024 and going further, please stop interacting with accounts that are blatant, like disrespectful, blatant hate speech. And you know that is blatant hate speech because like an opinion is one thing, a fact is one thing, but like the way he said it had like intent behind it. I do not like it at all. I just wish that we could all just be like human above, not human above everything, but like human across the board, because we all like come together, we all share things, we all have fun, we all have a good time. We don't need someone like that in the community to start something when there's nothing there. And like, it's all over Twitter. We're definitely not going to drop his name, but like, if you know, you know, for him. But seriously, stop retweeting, quote tweeting people that just want to make a buck on Twitter, because you could get monetized now for really hateful stuff that doesn't need to like be passed around. We should have been talking about Javon's perfect match and how much of a bright future he has in NXT, and the fact that they decided to be like, hey, let's take him under our wing. Let's take him into the WWE system. You know, let's prop him up. Because he has a bright future ahead of him. I don't know why, like, you know, this guy was like, oh, let's look at his face and his interactions and let him, you know, call him a slave. Like, what? Sir, what are you doing, man? Like, the fact that people give this... I know what he knows what he's doing, yeah. But the fact that people still give him a platform, still give him, you know, the amount of reach is kind of sad. It's like, come on, like, let's not do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I forgot what I said before we started the show, but you know, I think sometimes life is lifing, and you know, sometimes seeing somebody else's toxic behavior makes you feel a little bit better about yourself. And therefore, that's where you have the interactions and you have the retweets and you have the people who are either condemning him, or you have the people who are encouraging him, or you have the people who are just, you know, they're just watchers, but they retweet it and that just perpetuates it. But again, if you're getting rewarded for bad behavior, why would you stop? So it's kind of, you know, and some people are really, really good at it. They get rewarded all the time. And, you know, why would you stop it? That's the thing. So it's unfortunate. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's such a weird place that we're in, because everybody has access to create their own content, which I believe you should be able to do. However, there's a difference from professionalism and just, you know, talking to, you know, your best friends and now putting it all over the world. But we got another like better a feel good.
I mean, Friday if you want feel good, here's your feel good. Alicia Fox is back, and she's back facing Mickie James today, which actually may have happened earlier because it's in Australia. So this may have actually happened like within the last few hours or something like that. But she's battling Mickie James in a match. And these two have not had a one-on-one match since 2009, which is really exciting. And what's even more exciting is that Alicia Fox, or the former Alicia Fox, is saying that she's in love with wrestling again. And I think that this is pretty amazing. You know, I don't think that people necessarily understand what the relationship with wrestling can be like, both mm-hmm. as a fan and as a talent. You know, like everything else, it can ebb and flow. And when you've gone through some really challenging spaces, you may not really want to be involved with this thing called wrestling. But then there are moments that happen that re-up your love. And I know that much like Alicia Fox, Vix Crow, Victoria Crow, maybe back in love with wrestling. I think that was a lot of the general consensus coming out of Mania weekend, was that a lot of people fell in love with wrestling all over again. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. is what pro wrestling is designed to do. When it's done well, you will fall in love with this once again. And I think that's the beauty of what we're seeing right now in this era that we're in, that fans and wrestlers are loving wrestling again. And that is a beautiful thing. So yes, Dylan is letting us know what happens in 2 hours. So we're not behind the times. This match between Alicia Fox and Mickie James will be happening in Australia. You can check it out on Triller TV. So be on the lookout for that. This is going to be amazing. And I think, again, anytime you love something so much, kind of mm-hmm. coming full circle from how we started the show with someone who yeah. doesn't seem to love the business anymore, back to people who really love the business, it's a very, very special moment. So congratulations and welcome back, Vix Crow, Alicia Fox. Yeah.
I haven't seen any interviews with him, but I feel like Nick Nemeth, that's kind of the same thing that happened with him. Paige had talked about it. Saraya talked about it too, you know, because she was on ice for like 5 years for good mm-hmm. reasons. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, because of nothing. But I feel like sometimes when you change scenery, it's mm-hmm. it's always good. So it is good to see her back, because I definitely did think once they let her go, or when her contract was up, is like, oh well, we're not gonna see her. And we didn't get to see, you know, we saw her once in a while, and what she's portraying, either whether it was her choice or the producer's choice, the times we did see her, she just came off as like a crazy black chick. Like there was really nothing. So it's really nice that she's getting this moment. And you know, I'll let Marie and Zed also add to that. But I guess the final question after that happens is, do you see her back in WWE even for, you know, a short stint to wrap up her career? Or do you think this is, she's indies and that's it?
I think that, I mean, she could go to WWE to be a helper in the back for like NXT to help train the girls and be hands-on and stuff like that. Like if she does do the indies, I'll be very proud of her. Like she could go do that, because I love Alicia Fox and everything that she's done for the business. But, you know, it's up to her and whatever she feels comfortable. If Mickie James could definitely make her feel super comfortable after this match, then who knows? The sky's the limit. So whatever she chooses, I'll be good with it.
Yeah, just seeing her fall in love with the business is enough for me. If she wanted to go back to WWE, if there's a position for her maybe in producing role and putting together matches for women, I think that's a good look, especially for some of the younger talent in NXT, because she was a long-term member of NXT. But just seeing her be able to kind of overcome so much and get back in the ring, I think that's a victory lap in its own. I don't think she needs mm-hmm. the bigger company. It's just falling in love with the craft all over again can take you to so many places.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think this is a good note to finish off of. This is
I told you I had a good one.
I like this. I like this. With that being said, Marie, please plug your book again. I'm going to drop the link in there. Okay. And tell everybody where they could find you. And thank you so much for coming on a second time. She likes us, guys. She likes us. You guys are coming on the second time, but where can everybody find you?
Listen, I love talking wrestling. I love talking ideas and just bouncing stuff off. Like, I just love doing that. So anyway, I'm Marie Shadows. Had a perfect time. So yeah, this is the Wrestling Planners One More Match. This is the 2024 edition. So what it is, I made it for the wrestling community, because the wrestling community was like, hey, how do you remember this match? How do you remember that match? Like when we go for like the year end awards and stuff like that. So like everybody was complaining. So I was just like, oh, let me just make, you know, a nice little planner for you guys. It's in bite-sized mode. It has the calendar is different because it's not like numbered. You get to start wherever you want when you buy it. It has a 7-star rating match review as well in here. So I took that from like Uncle Dave. So you can like put whatever stars you want. You could actually color it in There's a notes section, and there's also a travel budget. So for any podcasters, content creators that travel, you guys can go and like get this and fill it out. It is on Barnes & Noble's. You could also click the link in the chat to go get it. And I hope you guys enjoy it, because I would like to make more for like every single year and to make some other stuff for you guys. But for the time being, you guys can also follow me. If you've been following the chat, Square Circle Podcast is my YouTube channel. You guys can go over there and hang out with me for a bit and just see my YouTube shorts and stuff. But the best way to follow me for now is on Twitter, @Marie_Shadows. So that's about it for now. I'm like reworking everything else.
Dylan's starting to mess again. Acknowledge Marie Shadows. I definitely agree.
Thank you.
Seti said from the streets, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter @SedSays. The gram @Sed is the answer. I ain't got nothing to promote today. I'm a little famished, but trust and believe, Monday, we're going to get wild. I was going to do it today. I'm going to save it for Monday.
Oh.
Are you going
to
bring...
Sed's about to pound the streets.
This is...
Damn, I was going to ask about the $60 drink. And then I guess... I will do
my damnedest to find a $60 drink this weekend.
Mm-hmm. And you're gonna bring it on Monday, and then you're also gonna go to Pound Town too, right?
Oh,
I guess Marie is fully in now, huh? She's in.
Wow.
Wow.
This is my thing. You gonna answer the questions?
What's up, Booney?
Booney's in the house.
Oh my goodness. Before Professor, you talk about where you're gonna be, because I know you're gonna have a lot of stuff. You got a lot of stuff going on. Definitely check out our merch.
Hey yo, you. Yeah, you that's watching this. You sitting on the couch staring at the screen, not knowing what you wanna do. Like, this is an online college. Are you tired of wearing shirts that make you look like an extra stuck in catering? Do you wanna step your wrestling swag game up to the next level? Then Women's Wrestling Talk has got you covered. Like, literally. Are you for life in pink or black and white? Or maybe you're the EST and people need to respect you accordingly. Want to put some pride in your stride and show off the muscle in your hustle? Then make sure you check out the WWT store. Not now, but right now. All right? What you waiting for? Head to www.talkpodstore.com and don't make me fight you. Shit.
Professor, where can everybody find you?
You can find me, of course, at Bonnerfied across all the social spaces. You can check out my commentary work with IWE and Southern Honor on IWTV. You can check out my commentary work with the Nightmare Factory on their YouTube page, also with All Caribbean Wrestling. We had a great show last week during Mania Week. It's called Philly Mania. That should be hitting the socials really soon, so check that out. Also, you can check out my work with Ashe Wrestling. We just dropped a really cool piece of content yesterday, which was doing a main event recap from Ashe BHM, which saw Shug D defending the Pan-African World Championship against Caprice Coleman. Got to do some cool narrations for that. So go back and check that out. And I will be with Ashe a week from today for Ashe Cosmos, which is going to be insane. You'll be seeing some more commentary about that next week. What else? It seems like there's more things happening. Just stay tuned here to WWT Live Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Oh, and yeah, the brand new Ring of Honor post show airing on Fridays at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Pacific for all of you guys who wake up nice and early with us as we recap all things Ring of Honor.
There it is. And yeah, we're currently at NWA. So we have some interviews coming from that pay-per-view. We have a lot of interviews dropping, and then we are also you can look for us at the AEW pay-per-view and the TNA pay-per-view next week as well as Ashe. So we're gonna just be everywhere, and some surprises as well. So things are popping, you know. I think Sed has been doing it, you know. Maybe it's paying off. He's talking to people in Parkerville and et cetera. And, you know, maybe it's all said. Who knows? Well, maybe you'll get a raise or something. I don't know. With that being said, you can follow me everywhere at TK Trinidad. Make sure you check out Women's Wrestling Talk. You want to keep it locked here at 5 o'clock. Honey will be doing watch along for SmackDown.
Oh, yes. And
there's something happening on Sunday. I just can't remember what. There's I believe one or two shows happening on Sunday. So keep it all locked on that. Thank you guys so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao, y'all.
This is the Cobra Katrina Creed out of Montreal, Quebec, and you're watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WWTalkPod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at WWTalkPod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk.